Awesome. Okay, well, we're on the second week of discipleship, so it'll be a little more practical this morning. So I have this little drawing. I'll write on it as we go, actually. Actually, there's been a survey done. Can everybody see that, or am I in the way? I don't know where to get. Anyways, that these are the four types of people that go to church, okay? And these first ones, SG, maybe we'll do a test next week, see if you remember. SG is those who are seeking God, okay? So they want fellowship and love and all those things, right? So they're seeking God, and they're looking, and they're seeking for hope. And so those people are there. And then the next group is those who are beginning in God, okay? And then the next group is the group that is close to God, and I'll tell you the last group after. So this group, there's a transition that has to happen. They go through the cross, and they come into relationship with God, right? Relationship. Okay? And they know that it's through grace alone, right? It's not by our works, but it's by grace and faith in God, in Jesus, what he did for us on the cross. So here's the people who are seeking. How many know that if you seek God, you'll find him? Amen. So they're seeking God. There's those in this church, and then there's the beginning ones who just came in, and they're all fired up, and they're all excited about God, and that's where we all were, right? And then the next area is getting close to God, okay? The Bible says those who draw close to God, if you draw close to God, he will draw close to who? To you. Okay. And those are the people that are disciples. Okay, I spelled it wrong. Disciples. And they are the ones who stand on God's word is their final authority. Okay? What God's word says, that's what they live by. Okay? And now there's one more group, and this group is the God-centered people, and they make Jesus Lord. Okay? There's all these four groups. They make Jesus Lord, and their characteristic is their giving. Not only finances, but their life. Okay? They're the ones who've laid down their life to follow Christ. Those are the God-centered ones. And why I put ATC there is because when we become a full, mature Christian, we're going to act like God, think like God, talk like God, and we're going to become companions and friends of God, just like Abraham, just like Moses. He was a friend of God. So that's the four stages that Christians can go through. And we call that discipleship. And I want one word that you will remember is it's all a, how do you spell that? I'm getting like you, John. Process. C-E-S-S. Okay. It is a process. So discipleship is a process. Does that chart make sense? And now God talks to all of us. How many know that? He said his sheep hear his voice. God speaks to every one of us. So no matter which stage you're in, God is speaking to you. Okay? And Josiah, if you want to put up the scripture, Luke 9:23, that was the one that Pastor Jock used last week, so we'll start with that scripture. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Okay, did you remember that from last week? So we'll probably say it every week so we remember it. And then there's a little video clip. It's on your Easy Worship, Josiah. So we'll play that first, and then we'll go on.
Jesus told this parable in Luke 14. Anyone who does not carry his own cross. Jesus told this parable in Luke 14. Anyone who does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Let's say some guy really wants to build a tower. Now, you might be wondering, why would he want to build a tower? I mean, who wouldn't want to build their very own tower? Come on, right? I mean, don't you think this guy is going to sit down and see if he has all that he needs to finish it? Especially the cash. Because if he pours a foundation, builds the base, and constructs half of it, and then runs out of money and supplies, that would be dumb. And everyone would drive by this dude's tower and be like, "Hey, dummy, you know what you should have done before you built that tower? You should have counted out the cost before you even started." I hate it when people point out stuff that makes perfect sense. Or, what if a king was about to go to war with another king? Wouldn't he first sit down and figure out if his army of 10,000 could beat the other guy's army of 20,000? If not, the dude better sit that one out, or he'd get owned. In the same way, any of us who don't count the cost and give up everything can't really be called a disciple of his. Jesus said salt is good, but if it doesn't taste like salt, then it's lost its worth. It wouldn't even be fit for the soil or a pile of manure. So he who has ears, listen up. Ha! Jesus just said poop.
I just thought that was cute for the young people here. And the young at heart, of course. So we need to be salt and light in the world. And by becoming a mature disciple, that's how we're going to get there. Okay, so a few things. What a disciple is not. A disciple that is not a disciple, a person who's not a disciple, is someone who lives how they want. They do what they want. They raise their children how they were raised or how they think they should do it. Their reasoning is, it's my life. I can do with it what I want. How many were ever there? I know before I met the Lord, that's where I was. It was our four and no more, our family. You know, we didn't think past other about other people. And so that's what a disciple is not. Now, what a disciple is a person who devotes themselves to the teacher, to learn from and become more like them. For the Christian, that refers to that word I put up there, process. Everybody say process. The process of learning the teachings of Jesus and following after his example in obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit. Discipleship not only involves the process of becoming a disciple, but also of making other disciples through living a life that honors Christ and then sharing it with others. Now, we all miss the mark sometimes. Anybody ever missed it? But if you're quick to say, "Hey, I missed it," then people aren't going to say, "Hey, you're a hypocrite," or "You're this," or "You're that." You say, "Hey, I missed it. You know, I should have done that, I know." And then people will see that you are in the process of becoming a disciple, right? The Bible says those of us were bought with a price, a big price, right? Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Your body is the sanctuary, the temple. I like to say the dwelling place, the place where God lives. Just think about that. We are the place where God lives. So what is the cost of discipleship? Well, Jesus, in the book of Mark, he walked along, and Peter and James, we all know them, the disciples, right? And different ones, they were working with their father. They were doing fishing. And he said, "Follow me." That's all he said was, "Follow me." And what does he say to us? "Follow me," right? "Follow me." So what did they have to do? They were there, and I'm sure their father's business was quite lucrative. They had all kinds of servants. And they decided to leave their inheritance. They decided to leave that, their future, may say, because it's a business, right? And just walk and go by faith and follow Jesus. So they had to give up something, right? There was a cost. And then there's the people. As I was studying this, I was thinking about it. In Acts 19:19, where they... The disciples went and they told them the good news and how they had to receive Christ. And they heard some teaching and decided that they wanted to get rid of all their sorceries. They wanted to get rid of all their charms. We know the story. They took it all together. They made a big bonfire and they burnt all those things. So what does that mean to us today? Do we need to get rid of these things? Yes, we do. So when you're in that beginner's, I should maybe left that up, the beginner's place, that's usually where the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, because you've been in darkness and you've come into the light, right? And he says, "Okay, this has to go," right? And so you go around, you get rid of stuff, right? And those things, just for some who are here and maybe never heard, It would include letters, rings, anything that holds you in bondage to the past. Anything that holds you in bondage to former relationships, you need to get rid of that stuff. Because there's a tie that happens there, okay? And so these disciples, they gave their life to Christ, and they got rid of this stuff, okay? Then there was the tax collector. I just picked a few out of the New Testament. The tax collector, he had to get rid of his pride and his judgmental attitude. Those are some things he had to get rid of. And he even said, I'll pay back four times if I've stolen anything from anybody. So see, there was a big change that happened, right? Big change in his heart. Now Paul, he gave up something. He counted the cost. He was a prominent teacher in the Jewish, and he was a leader in the Jewish way up there. But he said, I count it all loss in comparison with the cross of Christ. So maybe we grew up in a certain type of church and we learned certain traditions and teachings. But if they don't line up with the Word of God, if you're going to be a disciple, then they need to go, right? They need to go. And then we're just going to talk. Maybe, do you have Josiah? 1 Kings 19:19. This is Elisha and Elijah. How many know the story of that? Elijah and Elisha. Okay. So Elijah, God told him to go and anoint Elisha, that Elisha was going to take his place. So he departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Now that, just that alone shows you that he was a wealthy man, to have 12 yoke of oxen. You know, he was wealthy. And then Elijah passed by and threw his mantle on him. And we know that when they throw the mantle on, it's a form of calling, it's a form of anointing. In saying that God is calling you out to something. And then the next verse, Josiah. And he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Okay, go to the next one. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So I was reading up on that and just studying it a bit. And it just says that, you know, he was making a decision here. He wasn't going to hold back. He was going to go forward. And it says in the commentaries that he was a man who already had his character. So for us to be a disciple and to go on to be where Jesus is Lord, that character has to be formed in us first, that process of discipleship. And it says that he was a worker. He was out there. He was on the oxen, and he was working, and he was busy. And that's what we need to be for the Lord. And then he took the oxen and he burnt them as an offering unto God. And he burnt up his plows saying, no turning back. I'm not turning back. And we need to come to that place where no turning back. We're going to go all the way. All the way. There's no turning back. No matter what happens. So he, more or less, you can say he burnt his past too. How many need to just burn your past and say, it's gone and I'm going this way? Just burn the past. Okay? So, we have really died to this world, is what the Bible says, and it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So, are we the same as the world, or are we really dead to the world? So, we need to look at our lives and say, what has changed? Am I going from glory to glory? Because that's where we want to go. We want to go up this chart till we're mature Christians in Christ. Okay. So we know we're saved by grace. It's not works. But it's got to be, it's not our own way. Receiving Jesus paid the price. But the next step in being a disciple is to die to yourself and live for God. Even Jesus said, it's not my will, but it's the Father's, right? I know in the olden days, the people who got saved, they'd say, God, wherever you want me to go. The Moravians, I think Pastor Jock talked about that. They'd say, God, if you want me to go over there and die for you, I'll go. We're not that brave today, right? We don't want to go that course. But anyway, so we need to die to ourselves. So we're just going to talk a little bit about the process for me. So when I became a child of God, I found out that we were called saints. We started reading the Bible and it said we were called saints. And I was from Catholic background, so imagine, you know. So now, hey, I'm a saint. This is awesome. And that we can live and walk just like disciples. We could change the world. How many, when you got saved, you thought, I'm going to change the world? Anybody? We still can. Don't lose it. We can change the world. Okay? So change the world. So the first thing the Holy Spirit talked to me about, and I don't like to say we hear the voice of God, because people, and especially new believers, they think they hear some booming voice. But it isn't. The voice of God is just that inside, this is what I want you to do. Right? Oftentimes, it's just that inner, this is what I want you to do. And so, the first thing that went in my life, I don't know about anybody else, was foul language. I see Candy saying yes. Foul language. You know, because it was easy to use God's name in vain. You'd hit your finger and out it would come, right? So we said, okay, this is not going to happen anymore. You'd hit your finger and you'd say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, till the pain went away. And so we changed our language, okay? The next thing that changed was smoking for me. The Lord said, hey. In fact, someone came and said to us, do you know what? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if you're smoking, you're blowing smoke in Jesus' face. And I thought, oh, I love Jesus. I don't want to blow smoke in his face. So it was a big struggle. Anybody ever had a struggle getting rid of cigarettes? It was a big struggle, but the Lord brings us through when we're willing. Amen? Then the next thing, Holy Spirit spoke to me, or maybe, I don't know, it was the Holy Spirit, but the church spoke to me and said, no dancing. You know, if you're going to dance, I love to dance. I was a dance. I was in the bars every week dancing. I liked it. I love dancing. But anyways, so it was like, okay, if I've got to give this up, Lord, do I love you enough to give this up? And I said, okay, I'll give it up. So I gave it up until I found out you could dance in church. So that was a good day. Good news. And then, of course, he spoke to me one time. We were having a big Easter dinner, and a lot of my family was not saved. And they were coming over, and we always had some drinks, some liquor. And it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, I don't want you to drink anymore. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? Everybody's coming over, and, you know. But anyways, so they came, and I said, I just didn't drink. And even one of the people who were one of our mentors, he said to us, oh, it's okay if you have, you know, just a social drink or whatever. But the Holy Spirit has said to me, I don't want you to drink. And so I said, God, I will follow you in anything that you ask of me. And that's where you have to be, where I will follow you, Lord, in anything you ask me. Okay, so that's when that went. And then, of course, there's immorality and the things you watch on television and all that stuff. And we know, I don't have to go into detail, I don't think, that we know those thoughts, those things have to go the same route. I belong to a book club, and we had read about the disciples getting rid of everything. So we threw everything out, right, Jock? We probably went overboard. I won't tell you the whole story because it was bad. But we threw everything out. Everything that was not, you know, in line with God. I mean, we even didn't want to eat devil's food cake. We were overboard, okay? But we were following God, and we threw these things out. And even medication, we said, okay, we're going to believe God first. If we need to take medication, we'll take it second. So, but you know what happened? Miracles started happening. Miracles started happening in our home. We've seen healings. We've seen revival. We've seen all kinds of things happening because we said, I want to be a disciple full force, no turning back. And someone came and said, well, you know, what if your brother don't go? What if this? What if that? We said, no, no turning back. We're going all the way. No matter what happens, if we get knocked down, if we get discouraged, if we get hurt in church, it doesn't matter. We're going all the way. Okay? And so that is what we did. Miracles began to happen. And it's time the church turns back to God again. Amen. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Amen. So God speaks to every one of us, and like we're not all in the same place here. But he does speak to us, and whatever he speaks to you, and I believe God is speaking to every one of us today, that there's something he's told us to do, and we haven't done it. And so you know what happens? We get stuck there. You know, you can't pass the test, right? There's something he's asked us to do. It may be forgiving someone. It may be, maybe, who knows? Only you know what God has asked of you. I know he asked me to get up at 8 in the morning. I find that really hard. 8's late for Jock, but it's early for me. So anyways, so he asks us different things. And if we don't do it, we get stuck. It's like, I thought of this as I was doing this. We had one young guy in our mega youth, and he took his driver's license 7 times before he passed. It was really sad. But anyways, he did get them, so that was good. So if we don't do what God wants us to do, we get stuck. Or in a business, if your employee won't do the training that you have for him, you can't give him a good position, right? You can't. And if you have a child and you say to them, clean your room, and they don't even do that, you can't give them more responsibility. So if it's like that in the natural, how much more in the spiritual? Right? God wants us to be fully mature, but we need to hear his voice and obey him to get to the next level, right? So, how much time do I got? Okay. Television. How many know television can be addictive? It was. Travis was 4 and he was totally addicted to the cartoons. Every Saturday morning he would get up early, 6 o'clock, and he was sitting in front of the television. So we had radically became beginning new Christian. So we said, okay, we don't want this to happen to him. We sold our television, got rid of it. And for 4 years we had no television in the house. And then our son Nathan was born, and he didn't even know what television was hardly, because I think most of my family got rid of the television, so it was kind of like, you know. So one day we got a little softer and left up on our discipleship, and we took him to a movie. It was a goofy movie at the, you know, that goofy guy, whatever his name is, at the theater, because we felt, oh, our kids are missing out on all this stuff, you know. So we took him there, and he came out and he said, I hate it. It's too mean and it's too violent. Because Goofy hit somebody and they fell out of a tree. So I'm just saying that to just say that television can be very addictive. And how many remember in Sunday school it said, be careful, little eyes. You might have to help me with this one. What you see, be careful. And be careful, one more. Where you go? Feet. Which one is it? Oh, be careful what you say. Be careful what you see. What you hear and where you go. So be careful, okay? Anyway, but today I don't know if we tell our kids that, but be careful what you see, what you hear, what you say, and where you go. So anyway, but you know, it's harder today for this generation. We really need to pray for them, okay? Because there's so much out there. There's satellite TV, there's all those games, and there's all those electronic stuff. It's so hard for them. For us, we find it hard. Even we don't have satellite. We don't have cable. That was a guardrail we put around our life because we used to be addicted to TV. So we said, okay, we need to put a guardrail around our life. So we will watch PG or PG-13, and we will not watch anything else. So that's a guardrail to protect yourself, okay? And so kids, or young people, you know, these things are there, and they can become very addictive. Anybody know games can be very addictive, young people? You can spend hours and hours on them. Okay, so it's not that it's wrong, but it is, you have to set guardrails for yourself so that you limit your time. Because what Satan would like to do is consume your life so that you won't be able to complete the destiny God has for you. So young people, I'm just speaking to you today. Guard your time. Give yourself limits. And let yourself have those limits, okay? And be able to discipline yourself to become a disciple. Because the Bible says if you cannot discipline yourself in any area, if you're a person with looking at computers and you have problems, it's easy to slip onto things that you shouldn't see. Put your computer in an area where you're accountable, where people are around you. Set up guardrails for your life, people. You have to set up guardrails if you're going to get to that top area with God. Because the Bible says if you're in something that it holds you and controls you, you need to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand. I was going to take a knife, but I thought it was too dangerous. So if these things have you in a grip, you need to cut it off. How many know that's not easy? He's not talking about literally cutting off your hand or plucking out your eye, but he's talking about these things that you so enjoy or is so addicted to. It feels like you're cutting off your hand to get rid of it. But that's what God is calling us to, okay? And then, of course, he goes even deeper and he deals with attitudes. A disciple needs to cut off or get rid of all bitterness, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, offense, rage, and malice, which is wishing others harm. You're to do good to those who despitefully hurt you. I mean, how hard is that? You know, Paul was shipwrecked and beaten. They were called the scum of the world. But they rejoiced and counted it a privilege to suffer for his name. That is not easy to do. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish these things, don't you? We can't do them on our own. So if a business did you wrong, or a lawyer, or a church, or even a friend, as David experienced in the Psalms, his very close friend turned against him, right? But we're to forgive them. And I have one scripture that the Lord showed me, and I'm almost through here. Proverbs 24:17. You got it, Josiah? This one, the Lord really spoke to me, because I don't know if I'm the only one, but sometimes people do you wrong, and then you think, well, they're not going to succeed. And, you know, I really don't, you know, I don't think they're going to do good and all this stuff. And the Lord showed me the scripture, and it really shook me up. It says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. And I'm going to read the second part, because it's in I've got it in the Amplified. It says, rejoice not when your enemy falls or is overthrown, lest the Lord see it, and it be evil in his eyes and displeases him, and he turns his wrath away from him to expend it on you, the worst offender. That's scary, is it not? Vengeance belongs unto me, says the Lord. I will repay. So this is a good reason to bless those who hurt you or persecute you. You sure wouldn't want the Lord to turn on you, would you? No. Okay. And I think the last major step is you should have a mentor. Not just a friend, but someone who will tell you the truth. We all have blind spots. The truth will set you free. It's better to pick someone who is further along spiritually than you are. Remember, a disciple puts guardrails in their lives. Has everybody here got guardrails in your life? You set up some guardrails. And as we grow, we have to set up more and more guardrails because God calls us to a deeper and a stronger place. So now you may be saying, well, the cost is too high. Like that little video at the beginning. Whoa, the cost is too high. But I just want to mention a few benefits of being a disciple. Our benefits is our children and our grandchildren. They all love God. That is a blessing, a blessing. We have peace and joy in our family and our home. God meets all of our needs. We're not rich, rich, but we're not poor, poor. So God meets all of our needs financially, spiritually. He gives us the joy of leading others to Christ, knowing that we have a home prepared for us in heaven. Those are just benefits. Disciples get a little closer to Jesus than the crowd. Did you ever notice that? There was his 12, then there was 70, then there was 500 that we know of. But the ones who drew close to him were closer. They knew the secrets of God's heart. And so that's why we want a disciple
process get to that place. Disciples get to follow Jesus where he goes. The uncommitted can't do that. Disciples get authority from Jesus to heal the sick, cast out demons. Disciples are close enough to ask questions. It's been granted to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And Psalm 25 says, God reveals his secrets to those who keep his covenant. Disciples bear much fruit for the kingdom. Disciples get the peace the world cannot receive, the peace that passes all understanding. Disciples get to rule and reign with Jesus, and they become a friend of God like Abraham, like Moses, where he shares anything he's going to do, he shares it with his friend before he does it. That's a pretty awesome place to be, isn't it? So we get into companionship and friend with God. So at the crossroads, we want to act like God, think like God, talk like God, and come into that communion place where we're a friend with God. ATC, remember? That's who we are. Amen. Okay. And we get to see miracles, not only see them, but we get to do them when we're his companion, right? And we get to bring love, joy, and hope to the hopeless. Amen? So I'm going to close with just one more little video clip. I think videos sometimes speak more than all that we can say when you just watch something, right? So God bless you, and I pray God will speak. Wherever you're stuck, he'll unstick you. Okay? Amen. So, Father, as we draw close to you today, Father, we're saying we are willing to walk and to do whatever you called us to do. So as we draw close, Father, we thank you that you are drawing close to us, that you give us the strength to walk into maturity, God, that you give us the strength to walk into that area where you can use us so mightily the world would say, who are these people? Who are they? They are the children of the Most High God. They are filled with the Spirit of the Mighty God, and that they will walk through the land and they will do exploits and they will lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and the world will know that he lives, and he will know because their love, your love, God, dwells within them, and that it will flow through them and cause change to come. Father, we thank you that you are so ready to fill us. We give you the praise. We give you the praise. Thank you.
Hallelujah. We glorify your name, Father. Okay. So everybody, let's raise our hand. We receive, God, everything from the throne, Father. Everything, Lord, that we need. The guardrail that we want to set into our life, Lord. The place where you want us to walk, Father. We receive right now everything, Lord. We stand in your presence and we say, Lord, have your way with my life. I want to get to the place where you're totally my Lord. I want to get to that place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Say, I receive everything from the throne of God. God is good, and he will only give me good thing. And I receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.